From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Scott Pruitt was once considered the most inappropriate person to lead the Environmental Protection Agency, given that he had sued more than a dozen times to undermine it as Attorney General of Oklahoma. Well, that prediction came horribly true, and now with Pruitt's resignation and his disastrous legacy, we are going to examine today what he has done and who will replace him. In addition to gutting public safety standards, Pruitt was forced to resign primarily because he blatantly turned the EPA into a cash cow for himself and his family. From the infamous $43,000 private phone booth in his office, to the fishy cheap condo rental from a lobbyist in D.C., the hefty pay raises for aides about which he lied, the abuse of his position to get his wife a high-paying job, and the tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars spent flying first class and more, journalists have even said they've lost count of the scandals. This past May, the Sierra Club obtained tens of thousands of internal documents through the Freedom of Information Act, showing so much rampant corruption at the EPA under Pruitt that the organization's executive director, Michael Bruin, concluded Scott Pruitt doesn't live in the swamp, he is the swamp, and he should resign or be fired immediately. Sadly, Pruitt's replacement, the cold lobbyist Andrew Wheeler, could be even worse for the EPA and the nation as a whole. My guest is Marianne Hitt, director of Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. Welcome to the program, Marianne.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So Sierra Club was one of the leading environmental organizations in calling for Pruitt's resignation for many months now. You even had a whole website dedicated to it, bootpruitt.com. And of course, it was a victory for the country and for government that he resigned. What was some of the damage that he did at the EPA if we set aside the corruption scandals and focus primarily on this public safety protections, the regulations that we've had in place for years to protect the public? What were the highlights of the worst that Pruitt did?
Well, Scott Pruitt is, in my view, unquestionably the worst chief of the EPA in the agency's history. And he, as you mentioned, came into the agency after building his career on trying to destroy it, suing it over a dozen times. And he came into the office with a wish list from polluting industries, from coal, oil, gas companies, chemical companies, and he wasted no time in trying to roll back dozens and dozens of clean air and clean water and climate safeguards, some of the most well-known being the Clean Power Plan, which is the climate carbon pollution standards for power plants, the Waters of the U.S. standards, which govern which waters are under EPA jurisdiction for protecting our clean water, methane standards, which is the very potent greenhouse gas that comes out of oil and gas and coal production. So vehicle standards, the last one I'll mention, the efficiency standards when you buy a new car, those, how many miles to the gallon your car gets, those are set at the federal level by the EPA, and he was working on weakening those. So he never met an environmental safeguard that he didn't want to undermine. And if there's any good news, it's that his tenure was short enough that he didn't actually get any of those rollbacks over the finish line. So there are a lot of them in progress, and the new administrator, Andrew Wheeler, is certainly going to try to carry out his legacy. That his first tweet today basically said that much. He tweeted a Wall Street Journal article about how he was going to stick with Trump's agenda. But ultimately, Pruitt didn't get those over the finish line thanks to advocacy. And we're going to make sure his successor, Andrew Wheeler, does not either.
Oh, that is a heartening a part of the legacy. What about some of the parting gifts that Pruitt tried to sneak in before he resigned? One of them was a massive loophole to super polluting trucks that in the final hours of Pruitt's tenure, right before he resigned, the EPA basically created this loophole to increase the manufacturing of a specific kind of truck that pollutes so much more than ordinary trucks do. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, there was this, yeah, indeed, this the glider trucks, as they're called, this sort of a loophole to allow to allow those super polluting trucks to kind of go forward after the prior EPA had tried to rein them in. There was also some funny business around sitting on some information about formaldehyde, which is a toxic substance that is linked to leukemia, among other cancers, that apparently they are, one of his other parting gifts was to allow the EPA to continue to stifle that information and keep it from the public. And I think, again, this is kind of par for the course of Scott Pruitt's tenure, that he wasn't just going after the big high-profile environmental standards like the Clean Power Plan. He was leaving no stone unturned. He was a very determined dismantler of all of our environmental safeguards. And it wasn't just about the safeguards that were kind of new safeguards in place he was trying to roll back, but it's about the bread and butter work of the EPA and just failing to enforce the Clean Air Act, failing to enforce the Clean Water Act, undercutting the morale of the people who work at EPA, public servants who are charged with protecting our clean air and water. So the damage he has done at the agency is going to take a while to undo. But at the same time, what brought him down ultimately was advocacy. It was advocacy in the public interest. It was the voices of the over 100,000 Americans who reached out and called for him to be fired to their member of Congress or to the White House. And it was that diligent shining sunlight into his dealings, thanks to these Freedom of Information Act requests that the attorneys were able to expose his corrupt dealings to the American people. So while he did send a few parting gifts out that I think shed light on the kind of, frankly, antics he was up to at the EPA every day, we have figured out how to shine a light on those bad behaviors, and we are not going to let Andrew Wheeler get away with continuing that agenda. We're going to be watching him every step of the way.
And I definitely want to get to Andrew Wheeler, but staying on Pruitt for a bit, and perhaps it was the mother who confronted him at a restaurant holding her toddler, telling him he should resign. That was a straw that broke the camel's back and really pressured Pruitt into basically being shamed enough to leave. And of course, even the understanding that she might have had of what he has done is a result of the public information and education campaign that groups like yours did. And it just became too embarrassing, I think, for the GOP. There was an interesting convergence between Democrats and Republicans of the need for Pruitt to resign, primarily, of course, because he caused so much scandal with the corruption at the EPA. But some of that was directly linked to his dismantling of safety standards, right? He was so clearly in bed with lobbyists for the fossil fuel industry, right?
That's exactly right. And I think if you think about the foundational kind of corruption at the heart of Scott Pruitt, it's that he took over an agency whose fundamental mission he was opposed to. He was trying to destroy. And frankly, I think any EPA administrator who comes in with the goal of destroying the agency, there's some kind of fundamental disconnect at the foundation of all of that is going to manifest in all of these kinds of bizarre ways. And so he was accepting basically subsidized rent from an energy lobbyist, a fossil fuel lobbyist, who was lobbying the EPA while he was staying in this subsidized apartment, as just one of many examples of how he was. It wasn't just that he had expensive pens and expensive pants. It's that he came into this agency with kind of a corrupt agenda from day one. And so, of course, it was going to show up in all of these sorts of bizarre ways. But, you know, the mom who confronted him in that restaurant, and she was holding her 2-year-old. I'm a mom. I have an 8-year-old. And I think that mom, she was very respectful, and she spoke from her heart and said what I think a lot of us moms wished we could say to Scott Pruitt if we had the chance, which is, this is the earth all of our kids are going to inherit. This is the air they breathe and the water that they drink, and you're putting it all at risk to enrich yourselves, and you need to leave. You need to resign. And I think that mom, she didn't just make an impact because she went viral on social media. She struck at a core truth that I think all of us who are parents could really relate to, and I think she's a hero.
Let's talk about the person to replace him. And I think it's important for us to just even sort of as an aside say this, that even if the person who replaces Pruitt is worse than Pruitt himself, which is hard to imagine, It is absolutely necessary to run these people out of office, essentially, right? Andrew Wheeler can ready himself to get the Pruitt treatment unless he does his job, right?
Well, again, he has not been hired to run the, you know, United States Coal Promotion Agency or the United States Fossil Fuel Promotion Agency. He is now running the Environmental Protection Agency. And if he is going to refuse to allow that agency to do its job, if he's going to undermine the employees, if he's going to be in opposition to the very mission of that agency, then he shouldn't be there. And public advocates like the Sierra Club, who are working in the public interest to make sure our air and our water are clean and our climate are protected, we're going to be watching him every step of the way. We're going to be exposing everything he's doing at the bidding of the industries he's supposed to be regulating. I mean, he was the lobbyist for Murray Energy, Bob Murray's coal company, which Bob Murray has famously been a supporter of Trump from the very, very beginning. And so if Andrew Wheeler is going to do the bidding of those industries that he's supposed to be regulating instead of protecting the American people, he's going to be on a short leash, and it's not going to take long for us to get to the bottom of that and expose it. And, you know, we need an EPA administrator who believes in the mission of the agency. It's that simple. And we did not have that with Pruitt, and he didn't last. We didn't have it with Wheeler. And again, if he tries to do the bidding of these industries he's supposed to be regulating, it will be exposed, and he hopefully will not be there for long either.
Apparently, one of the things that Wheeler is linked to is that the firm that he worked for was once paid $250,000 to oppose EPA standards on asthma-causing ozone emissions. I mean, these are the kinds of things he, as EPA head, will likely have oversight of ozone emissions regulations, right?
Absolutely. The EPA is in charge of enforcing the smog standards. So if, you know, if you have asthma or you have a loved one with asthma, you pay attention to the code red air days, the code orange air days when the air pollution makes it too dangerous to go outside. Ultimately, EPA is charged with setting those limits for how much air pollution is really dangerous, and then making sure states are enforcing those limits. And so again, what are the big sources of that pollution that causes asthma? It's coal plants, it's cars, it's fossil fuels. And if you have a fossil fuel lobbyist who is in charge of protecting our clean air from smog, you can imagine they might look the other way, they might make the loopholes bigger, they might just not enforce the standards. And if you are a loved one of someone with asthma, your child's next asthma attack could be on the watch of this EPA administrator who is a fossil fuel lobbyist at his heart. And so the stakes are very high for all Americans.
And I should mention he's currently the acting chief and has been at Pruitt's side as his deputy director of the EPA. What do we know of what Wheeler has done to support Pruitt's disastrous legacy while at the EPA? Is it possible to even look at his actions, particularly from some of the documents that Sierra Club obtained, to oppose him before he really, you know, can properly take the reins of the agency?
Well, we have started doing that digging, most definitely. And, you know, I mean, again, we know he was a chief lobbyist and strategist for Murray Energy, Bob Murray being the person whose wish list was very publicly handed over to Trump, who vowed to carry it out. So probably our most high-profile coal baron out there today.
And given that, how did Wheeler even, given that particular position, how did Wheeler even get the job as deputy EPA, deputy at the EPA? Aren't there rules to prohibit lobbyists from working in government through the revolving door, at least for a time?
There is a revolving door rule, and there are questions about whether Wheeler had sufficient time away from his lobbying job to, or whether he's actually in violation of that. But he was confirmed as the number two in the EPA by the Senate, which again, the Senate is controlled by the Republican Party, which is also very pro-fossil fuel, very anti-environmental protection by and large. And so, you know, this kind of fundamental corruption at the heart of this whole administration that ultimately is, again, I just think it's with Andrew Wheeler running the EPA, it's just a matter of time before the scandals start to be exposed, because you have someone who is diametrically opposed to the mission of this agency that's trying to lead it. But he was approved to be number two at the EPA by the Senate, and it is a question of whether that revolving door period was actually violated or not.
Marianne, he also apparently served as a longtime aide to Senator James Inhofe, who is one of the top climate deniers in the country. We here in Southern California, where our program is based, have experienced one of the worst heat waves in recent memory. Last Friday, July 6th, was the hottest July 6th on record. There have been power outages. People are still without power because of the surge. And there have been across the globe in cities around the world, massive spikes in temperatures. Climate change is here, and the EPA, which was one of the best places for the federal government to start to make change in terms of regulating greenhouse gas emissions as pollutants, is under the wing now of this man who was an aide to a climate denier.
It is definitely not a good time in our history for federal climate policy, that's for sure. But if I can give you a ray of hope, the good news is in the Beyond Coal campaign, which I lead at the Sierra Club, we're working all across the country where decisions are actually made about how we get our electricity. And electricity production has historically been the single biggest contributor to climate change emissions here in the United States. We are retiring coal plants. We have half of the coal plants in the United States already announced to retire. And we are continuing to retire them at the same rate under Trump as we did under Obama. And that is because the decisions about where we get our electricity are made at the state level, they're made at the local level, and they're not made in Washington, D.C. So Andrew Wheeler and the EPA under Trump's leadership can slow down federal climate policy and leadership, but they can't slow down the shift from fossil fuels to clean energy, because that's being driven in the states. And we now have renewable energy cheaper than coal and gas for the first time since the Industrial Revolution. So there's grassroots and market forces that are going to keep driving this change on the ground, regardless of anything that the Trump administration does. They can slow down the progress, but they definitely cannot stop it.
When Wheeler was asked about his position on climate change at the hearing that confirmed him as deputy of the EPA, he said, "I believe that man has an impact on the climate, but what's not completely understood is what the impact is." So sort of hedging the truth there. I want to just also ask you whether you think Wheeler is going to be confirmed as head, or if, as far as you know, remain acting director till a permanent replacement is found. Is this, should we assume that he's going to be the new Pruitt?
I think it remains to be seen whether they would find someone else or just promote him. I don't have that information, but I think for the foreseeable future, he is the new Pruitt. I mean, he's the acting administrator, and it's definitely likely that he will get the top job. He has said he doesn't want it. He is a creature of Washington. He was a Hill staffer. He was a lobbyist for a long time. Perhaps preferred to be a little more behind the scenes, but he is not behind the scenes anymore. And I, at the Sierra Club, we are going to assume that he is the leadership of the EPA that we are dealing with until we're told otherwise.
Right. And Pruitt's indiscretions were in part what led to his downfall, the insistence on traveling first class at taxpayer expense, et cetera. You know, coming from the party that always preaches austerity for the rest of us, but misusing taxpayer funds for their own luxuries. And so, of course, it could be that Andrew Wheeler understands better the importance of optics, but is going to drive the same disastrous agenda in gutting public safety, which of course would mean that he'll get the support of the officials and Republican Party heads. I feel like part of the reason Pruitt became a liability was just because he was embarrassing the GOP, right?
Well, one thing to also to remember is the only reason all those scandals came to light was because of 60,000 pages of FOIA documents that were obtained by the Sierra Club and that ended up on the front pages of places like the New York Times and the Washington Post. But for a while at the beginning of his tenure, Scott Pruitt seemed like Teflon. He seemed very smooth, that nothing would stick to him, very clever. And it took a huge amount of public advocacy to reveal all of these scandals. And, you know, we've found there are a couple of odd things about Wheeler that have already turned up. There's a tweet we just shared today where he was tweeting some conspiracy theory in defense of Milo Yiannopoulos a couple of years ago, which he scrubbed from his account, but, you know, the famous right-wing provocateur that we have up on our Twitter page today. And another tweet that was in the, or an email that was in the documents that we obtained of him communicating with another lobbyist with the line, "I really, really like money." So there are a couple of little questionable glimpses that we have gotten around his conduct and things I'm sure he would rather not have attention drawn to. And we will see. It's hard to imagine anybody could top Scott Pruitt when it comes to bizarre behavior and corrupt scandals. But again, it took a lot of advocacy and diligence and investigating to uncover all that about Pruitt. And we will be watching Andrew Wheeler just as closely.
And finally, does Pruitt, all the investigations that he was under, and there were so many of them, are those a moot point now that he's resigned, or will he be held accountable for some of the things he did?
That is a big question. We at the Sierra Club believe those investigations need to continue because they're investigations into whether, you know, corruption was at play, whether laws were being broken, and how our environmental safeguards, clean air and water safeguards, are being enforced. And so,
right, you don't get a free pass just by resigning, I would hope.
Exactly. And if you were, you know, I mean, there, one of the reports was that he had multiple calendars to keep some of his appointments secret, and that would definitely be a violation of the law if he were doing that. So yes, I don't think you get to resign and just have all of this go away. And I think the investigations should continue because Americans need to have faith and confidence in the agency that's charged with protecting our air and our water. And I think these investigations need to go through to conclusion so we can have that confidence and make sure that justice is done.
Marianne, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post links to the Sierra Club as well as the Beyond Coal campaign from our website. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Marianne Hitt is the director of Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. We've been discussing Scott Pruitt's legacy at the EPA and his replacement, Andrew Wheeler. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.